The best city church, 10 a.m. Welcome. Come on, let's make him feel real at home here this morning. Come on, let him know how much you love him.
Don't go away. Hey, good morning, everybody. I was going to tell them this from down there, but I'm going to tell you. So many of you have come up to me and tell me how much you appreciate this guy and Patty. You know, I love a pastor who gets up and said, I've been there. You know, there's times I want to walk away, forget everything. This is a very imperfect human being. And this is what makes a great pastor, okay? He's a good shepherd. When that little sheep goes over there, you know, the good shepherd what? Goes over there and ministers to him. We got all kinds of people who are good sheep. We got a few people in this sheep, in this flock that, quite frankly, maybe lamb chops, but I don't know.
I did not tell him that.
No, he didn't tell me that. But I got to tell you, I visit a lot of churches. I speak out there at, what's his name, way out in the south, west coast, Rick Warren's church. They got 7 services. You speak twice on Saturday night, 5 times on Sunday. By the 3rd one on Sunday, you don't know if Jesus is the good guy or the bad guy. It's absolutely crazy, but this is a good shepherd. It's been so much fun. Last night was fantastic. All those helping hands behind the scenes that made that happen, I think that's incredible. And you got 2 sons who can sing in church. You and Patty did good. God bless you. Thanks for having me here. Good people, I'm telling you. Couple things. I always forget this, but birth order guy, G-U-Y. I am the birth order guy. Birthorderguy.com. There's free podcasts on there. I tell you that because we've only been up there about 1 year and 8 months now, I think. It's been downloaded over 3 million times. So people like them. They're free. Christians love the word free. Don't get me going on that. Sometimes too much. But they're about life. They're about 20 minutes long. Then the other thing, those of you who listen to Focus on the Family, I'm on there next Monday and Tuesday, the 18th and 19th of June. In fact, I'll be out there the 11th of June filming or broadcasting a couple more on a new book called When Your Kid is Hurting. That comes out in September. That's book 61, believe it or not. So of the 61 books, a couple of them are good. That's all I can tell you. I'm so old, I forget the titles of the book. It's embarrassing. And speaking of books, there's a couple of freebies back there. If you buy a book, you get a copy of Have a Happy Family by Friday, freebie. If you've never read a Lehman book, I'd suggest the Birth Order book. Many trees have died in its honor. Well over 1 million copies sold. And it talks about firstborn children. Where are you firstborn children? Bossy suckers. You're the lab rat of the family. You know that your parents practiced on you. By the time number 4 comes around, parents don't care. They grab some food, throw it on the floor, say, dinner's ready. The firstborn, they do everything right. But that's a fun book to read. Some of you know some people who need this book, Making Children Mind Without Losing Yours. Also a million-plus seller for a reason. It's based upon Ephesians 6. I told somebody this morning, when I do CEO groups, these are people who are all multimillionaires in the audience. The principles that I share come right out of this book, which is based upon St. Paul, which makes me chuckle and laugh. Have a new teenager by Friday. They're interesting people. Weird, but interesting. But have a new teenager by Friday. The book we're talking about this morning is The Way of the Wise. It's a book that I wrote in 54 days from beginning to end. I remember telling the publisher it was on the way, and they said, you're done? I said, I'm done. Finished? Finished. And I told them it just flowed out of my heart. And it's based upon Solomon, who they say was the smartest of them all, the brightest of them all. And listen to these words. This is Proverbs 3. Do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Now, let me point out to you the word paths. It's plural. We don't have one path in life. You have a lot of paths in life. And I was talking to a single man here in the front row about life and paths and find a chick. That was a commercial announcement, by the way. He's going to find a good one. I told him to go to South Carolina, Mississippi, the South. You know, you go to South. I came home from preaching down in Mississippi. I told my wife, honey, I've never been yes, sir, so many times in my life. Everybody said, yes, sir, yes, sir. Hi, Miss Jane. Good morning, Miss Jane. Good morning, Miss Sally. I mean, sweet, loving, nice people. Well, that's a whole other topic we'll take up at another time. The love life of the pastor's son. Anyway, that'd make a great evening, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be great. I gave him a couple things off the top of my head to be looking at. He'll never share them with you, so don't ask him. But I wanted to, did I embarrass you enough? Sorry. I wanted to read the dedication of this book for you. You know, when you write books, you dedicate them to your wife and your kids, your dog, aunts, uncles, friends, whatever. But listen to this one. To all who question God and wonder where they fit in life's grid, I think that covers just about all of us. And this is a wonderful little scripture, and I'm going to read it again, but just listen for a word. Listen for the word heart. And before I do that, point to yourself real quickly. Just point to yourself. And where do we point to? We point to our heart. And this is what the Christian life is all about. But listen to that word. Do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Well, many of you know my story. I grew up, I had a mother who loved God. She loved Jesus. I'd come down in the morning, she'd be reading her Bible or she'd be in prayer. That's just who the woman was. She prayed for us three kids every day of her life. And she loved her little cub. In fact, I was the baby of the family. My nickname was Cubby as a kid. In fact, I was doing a show in Cleveland, Ohio once, TV show, and someone called in. They said they wanted to talk to Dr. Cubby. I thought, wow, who's ever called in grew up in Western New York. And sure enough, they did. Well, that was me. I was the youngest in the family, followed a sister who was perfect. I think I shared with you once, this is a woman who puts newspaper under the cuckoo clock. I don't get you firstborn children. You're a little too perfectionistic for me. And I had a brother who was near perfect, you know, and then there was me. Well, I couldn't compete with those two, so I was the best at being the what? Worst. Graduated fourth in my class in high school, but fourth in the bottom, couldn't get in college. Our church denominational school turned me down. I even sent them scripture about forgiveness. Nothing worked. They didn't want me. I put the letter, the actual letter in one of my books written to my mom and dad that says, we don't want your stupid kid. It didn't say exactly that, but that's what it conveyed. We believe his chances of academic success would fail. Hello, what does that mean? My brother said, it means you're stupid. They don't think you're going to get there. But anyway, long story short, I got into that college on probation. A proof of the living God, got through my freshman year, went back the second year to play baseball, and during that winter quarter, a college prank. I stole the conscience fund. It was a fund invented by the Pharisee-like head resident of the dorm. The ice cream machine went on the fritz. We cleaned it out. Is that a sin? I don't think so. Well, the head dorm rat thought it was a sin, so he had the conscience fund. For those of you who participated in the illegal ice cream social the other night, the dorm lost X number of dollars. So they had all these dimes. Dimes! Back in those days. An ice cream bar was 10 cents. There was probably $4 in a dumb thing. I came home one night. I thought it was funny. The night watchman, Gus, had fallen asleep. I said to my roommate, what would be funnier than me stealing that? He said, that'd be funny. So I stole it. Went upstairs, dialed, got two pizzas for the gang. told people about it. Dean pulls me in, asks me if I know anything about it, lied through my teeth. No, I know nothing about it. Next thing I know, he throws me out of school. Here's the miracle of the story, folks. 10 years later, I was a dean of students at the University of Arizona with 37,000 students. Well, what happened? What happened was, after I got thrown out of college, and again, does God use ordinary people to do extraordinary things in life? I'm a janitor. I'm holding a broom. Okay? Holding a broom. Not using it, holding it. $195 a month, full time. My life changed in a second. I want every woman to pay attention to this. You're going to see a male skill. A 5'9" beauty walks down the hallway in her little yellow and white uni. Whoa. Where did she come from? I paid another janitor $5 to introduce me to that chick. That same day, now I'm using a wet mop in the men's restroom. You can't make up stories like this, folks. And in walks my future bride. And I'm saying, oh, it's her, say something stupid. I was always good at saying stupid things. And so I said, pardon me, would you like to go to the World's Fair with me? That's the first words I ever spoke to my wife. And she was always smarter of the two of us, and she said, oh, well, I don't know. I said, how about lunch then? And we went to McDonald's, and we split a 20-cent cheeseburger. 20 cents and a 10-cent Coke. I'm telling you, I felt like a ton of bricks. This woman exuded something, and I didn't know what it was, but I wanted to find out as much about it as I could. We started dating. We dated every night. 3.5 months dating. I'm smoking my Salem cigarettes. I mean, I'm walking cool, talking cool. I got my hair going back and a little duck tail. We used to call it a duck tail. Had the belt on the side. Got the picture? I mean, talk about an idiot. I was an idiot. Later, she told me kissing me was like kissing an ashtray. Well, I'll tell you, when I started dating her, if she would have said, excuse me, but I need to share with you the four spiritual laws, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't. She just loved me anyway. So 3.5 months, she pops the question. She says, would you like to go to church with me? I'm thinking, holy cow. It's not exactly what I said. She's one of them. There's one thing I didn't want to do is hang out with some Christian chick. Well, what do you say, gentlemen? You're falling in love with this chick. What do you say? You lie through your teeth. And you say, oh, I was just thinking about going to church. Yeah, I'd love to go to church with you. I remember sitting in her church thinking, no chick is worth this. This is brutal. And then she wanted me to come back at night. The same day, come back at night. I didn't do it right the first time. I don't get it. I grew up in Buffalo. You know, you go and that's over, you know. But see, that was my appointed time. See, everyone here has a story. It's not like mine, it's your story. But that was my day, that night where this guy was talking about the guy who knew who Jesus Christ was in his head, but he didn't know who he was in his heart. And everything that happened that night. You talk about the Holy Spirit moving in someone's life, this doesn't make sense. But sometimes life doesn't always make sense. Everything that happened that night I didn't want to have happen. Everything. I walked out of that church feeling clean for the first time in my life. God gave me motivation. I'd go back to school full time. I'd go from flunky. I had taken 2 courses at the university, same course. Flunked it first time. Flunked it the second time. Why I'm doing the janitor thing during the day. Come back, get on the dean's list first semester after becoming a Christian. Is God who he says he is? Can he change lives? And guess who was the trigger person? Good old Mrs. Uppington, the woman that I've been married to for 50 years in a row. She's bossy. She knows exactly how I had to dress. She knows exactly how I had to talk and exactly how I had to drive. But I love the woman despite her many flaws. But you see what I'm saying? If you look back in your life, there were some trigger points in your life, people who cared enough about you. What I love about this church is you can't come to this church without feeling like people care about you. We love you. They won't clean you up, whatever you... Just come and let God work in your life. And so... This little book, The Way of the Wise, I had more fun writing this book because it's so autobiographical in so many ways. It's my story, but it's a lot of people's story. where they come to deal with who Jesus Christ really is in their life. And I've got a chapter in the book called Jesus and God, Jesus and God. That's all they talk about at that church is Jesus and God. My friend Chuck Swindoll shares a story about going to a seventh grade boys Sunday school class where he asked the class, boys, what's green and says ribbit? Well, nobody says anything. Hey, come on, boys, what's green and says ribbit? So finally, a little 12-year-old pops up and he says, well, I think it's a frog, but I'll say Jesus. Well, see, this kid didn't connect the dots. Okay? We're in church, so the answer's got to be Jesus. No, the answer is a frog. And some of us as adults don't connect the dots very well. We have this cerebral image of who God is, but it doesn't live in our heart. See, whatever's written on the tablet of your heart, that tells us where your future is. You've got to have a heart. I mean, was it great to come here this morning and worship? Was that how great they are out? How great thou art? Does that not move your soul? And how great is your God? Just what problem do you have this morning that God we sang about can't deal with? Is it your marriage? Your wife's bad breath? Her bathing habits? I mean, your kids' behavior? Well, that's a whole other story. Kids' behavior today. Don't get me going on that. Wow. No wonder some mothers want to eat their young. Oh. Anyway. There's a difference, folks, in going from head knowledge to heart knowledge. I was tucking in my little granddaughter, Adeline. She was 6 years old. She had lost her tooth. And by the way, is there a difference in how grandpa tucks the grandchild in versus grandma? I'm telling you, there is in my house. I try to get those little suckers down in 30 seconds or less. I don't read them a story. Grandma reads, can you read me another story, Grandma? Okay. Another story, Grandma. Grandma, the idea is to put them in bed. I use Dr. Lehman ether claws. They work very well. They're gone in seconds. But anyway, I'm tucking in little Adeline, and all of a sudden she looks up and she says, Grampy, what, honey? What's the tooth fairy look like? Oh, what, honey? What was the question? I heard the question. I'm scrambling for time. Grampy, what's the tooth fairy look like? I'm going, tooth fairy? Oh, let's see, Adeline, the question is, what is the tooth fairy? And I finally pulled it out of my back pocket. I got it. I said, oh, Adeline, looks just like Tinkerbell, just like Tinkerbell. You know what she said? She said, thank you, Grampy. I love you, Grampy. Good night, Grampy. She was out. There was a 14-year-old girl who was approached by an angel. And the angel said, Mary, you're going to have a little baby. You know what Mary said? She said, let everything you say come true just as you said it. That's what we call childlike faith. We talk about sowing that seed, putting that seed in the ground, the temperatures, a little rain, and all of a sudden you see that little green come through. All of us sow seeds every day in people's lives, hopefully. That's what the Christian life is all about. But let me ask you this. Who believed in you? You know, after my mother passed away, she lived to be 95, we found in her Bible pictures of me that she had taken on the TV set. So you see the TV set with my mug on it, on Oprah and Phil Donahue. Anybody old enough to remember Phil Donahue? And you're right, I did The View twice. Those women need help, I'm telling you. And of all things, I'm talking to them about sex, okay? Oh my goodness, I wish you could have seen it. God was with me. I keep those guys at bay by humor, by the way, if anybody asks. I mean, they talk about their partners. What am I supposed to do? Give them four spiritual laws? No, I just flip things around. It's really important for a husband and a wife. You know, I use my frame of reference. But yes, I've been there. But anyway, we find all these pictures that my mother took of me on all those shows. I mean, as a lady who loved her kids, for sure. And she believed in me. But how many people believed in you? Do you need two hands? You don't. You're lucky if you have one that you can count to. It might have been your mom, it might have been your dad, it might have been a grandpa or a grandma. But there was somebody who believed in you anyway, even when there wasn't reason to believe. And I'm telling you this morning that Almighty God, the creator of the universe, believes in you. He believes in you. And all you've got to do for the taking is say, Lord, help me to get there. Like I say, just what is it? Just what is it in your life that Almighty God can't help you with? I'd like to know what that is. Because whether it's marriage or financial or you name it, I'm telling you, God is God. Be still and know that I am what? God. And sometimes we just got to be still to hear what God has in store for you and I. But if we're so busy with I, me, we don't think about other people and how to serve other people. We miss the whole point. Y'all leave church today, you come to a red light, why do you stop? It's the law. Good. Very proud of you. It's the law. Don't want to go to traffic school. Graduated twice myself. Those are all good. Don't want to get an accident. Okay, I'll give you partial credit for that one. But the best answer is you stop at a stop sign or a red light so you what? Don't hurt somebody else. But why isn't that the most readily answer? Because we're hedonistic people. We think too much about ourselves. But again, I always remind people, if you see a turtle on a fence post, you know he didn't get there by himself. And wherever you are today in your spiritual walk, you can go back and you can point to people who made a difference in your life that brought you to that cross where you said, God, I'm done. You're in charge. You take over. One of the favorite chapters in this little book is entitled, You're the Potter, I'm the Clay. But I do have a few suggestions. Now, isn't that just like us? Oh, Lord, you're the potter. Mold me. I want to be who you want me to be. But, Lord, I do have a few little suggestions. It's about my IRA and my finances. I really believe that ought to be up to me. I can handle it. I'm just telling you, I've been there. Marty said last night, he shared his flaws last night. I'll share mine. I've said, hey, Lord, I got it. Have a seat. I can drive. I'm so stupid, I start off thinking I can drive. I get a mile and a half down the road, crash. What's the first word out of my mouth? Lord, is that you, Lehman? Yeah. You call me a little tow truck, get me out of this mess? It's on the way, fat boy. He is able and just to what? Forgive us of our sin. I'm just asking you the question, but I'm asking me the same question. How many times do we have to learn that one before we realize that God's a jealous God? He wants the whole enchilada. He don't want no papas fritas, some french fries. He wants all of us, you know? And I'm just telling you, that forking it over is such a freeing to say, Lord, I'm yours. Use me. That's my prayer. I still travel to churches and do what we did last night, what I do this morning, because I love it. I mean, that's my call. I figured that out a long time ago. I look back at how God has incredibly blessed me. We have 6 schools now out west, charter schools, where we put authority in the classroom teacher's hands. What do you think our schools are like? They've got national recognition already because we put authority. People do not like the word authority today. You've all seen the bumper sticker that says question authority. Almighty God is the ultimate what? Authority, not an authoritarian. He doesn't grab us by the scruff of the neck and say, Patty, you will do this. No, he loves us so much, he gives us free will to turn left or turn right. That's how much he loves us. I'm just telling you, this thing is a lot easier than we make it out to be. You ever feel like you don't measure up? You're not good enough? You didn't jump high enough? Let me encourage you this morning. There was a guy named Paul. I never caught his last name, but he's very important because there are a lot of churches named after him. He and a guy named Peter in particular. But you know what? Paul calls himself wretched. If St. Paul is wretched, what are you and me? Give me a break. Wretched? St. Paul's wretched? How do you measure up against St. Paul? I mean, I've written so many books that are based And our schools are based upon the teachings of St. Paul, quite frankly. And we're a public school, so figure that out. Our mantra is be kind to one another and encourage one another. But, you know, I'm encouraged. I found these people in the Bible. They're really dumb. They were dumb as mud, to tell you the truth. We call them the disciples. There were 12 of them. And one was dumber than the other. Now, please don't send me a nasty email, because I know Jesus handpicked those disciples. I give you that. But I'm telling you, they didn't get it. John 14. Jesus gets up. He knows that the sand is going through the hourglass. He knows he has to get on that cross. By the way, does he want to get on the cross? No. Remember, Jesus, 100% God, 100% man. Figure that out, theologians. He didn't want to get on that cross. No way. Okay, so he says, hey, fellas, listen up. I'm out of here. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. He says, and you know where I'm going. I love this scripture because I can identify it because I'm dumb like they are. And so are you, but you might not admit it. And Thomas gets up and says, Lord, where the fuck you said to you what you're talking about? Really? You were with him when he changed the water into wine. You were with him when he fed 5,000 people with some loaves of bread and some fish. Weren't you paying attention, Tom? Talk about dumb, and then there's dumber, Philip. You ever seen Dumb and Dumber? It's a great movie. Got a lot of depth. My kind of movie. That and The Three Amigos and What About Bob? That is Lehman's kind of thing. But good old Philip gets up and says, yeah, good point, Tom. Show us the Father, and then we'll know. What did Jesus say to Philip? Philip, after all this time you've been with me, you don't know who I am. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You ever feel like you didn't measure up? Like you fell short? You're in good company. Because I'm telling you, the disciples who walked and talked with Jesus fell short, just like you. That's part of the human condition. We're going to fall short. We're not always going to do things perfectly well. The good news is God's love for us doesn't diminish at all. He loves us despite ourselves. Okay? So here you are. You're flawed, you're crummy, and imperfect. Now I think you're ready to go and plant that seed. Now I think you're ready to become a difference maker in somebody's life. You're going to give them what I call vitamin E, which is encouragement. You know, part of vitamin E, the other side of that is vitamin N, which is no. I'm always telling parents, you have to give your kids vitamin E, that's encouragement, but also you got to give them vitamin N, which is no. There's got to be balance. There need to be balance in your Christian life as you move forward in life. Why am I always out of time? The stone. By the way, a pastor asked me to speak on Easter Sunday. It's the only time it ever happened in my entire life. And I knew this pastor well, but I looked at him when he asked me to speak on Easter. I said, excuse me, is this like the day he was born, or is this like when the big rock was moved? I wish you could have seen the look on the pastor's face. It was worth my attempt at humor. But anyway, that stone was moved for who? Was it moved for Jesus? No. It was moved for you and I. And here's my question for you this morning. Why did Jesus allow himself to be seen by the women shortly after he came out of the tomb? Why would he stop and speak to a group of 500 people? Do you think it had anything to do with the fact that Jesus knows how difficult it is for some of us to believe? Do you remember what Thomas said? I'll believe it when I see the nail prints in his hands. Hey, Tom, come over here. Take a look. What do you think, bud? You see what I'm saying? So when you fall short, I'm just telling you, take a look at the company you're in. You're in great company. So don't dump on yourself because you fall short. But realize that God loves you anyway. I mentioned this last night. You're in good hands with Allstate. That's been around forever. But you know, that's how we ought to feel as Christians. We're in good hands with God because he loves us despite our frailty, despite our flaws. Remember, Jesus came to this earth to put an end to religion, not to start a new one. In the beginning was the Word. And Jesus was in the beginning, has always been. And he's got a plan for you and I. We're the ones that sometimes don't see the forest through the trees. We don't realize there are many paths. And these pathways change in life. Coming out of high school, I thought I'd be a forest ranger. Do I look like a forest ranger? I'm telling you. When I was 8, I wanted to be an ambulance driver. I was enamored with those lights and that siren. I never knew what God had in store for me until what? That Sunday evening when the Holy Spirit came into my life and changed my life. I became new. And as I trusted God, trusted Him, He kept opening doors. 61 books later, I wish my teachers were alive to see Lehman Academy of Excellence. They would say, it must be a distant relative. Because they sure wouldn't think it was me. So all things are possible for God, with God, right? Question, can you be a better Christian? That's a sucker question. Many of you just failed it by saying, yes, Dr. Lehman, we can be better Christians. You can't be a better Christian. You either believe or you don't. It's like being pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. The rabbit died or he didn't. Do you love me? Then do what I tell you to do. That's a simple message in God's Word. So listen, don't should on yourself. Some of you are great shoulders. Some of you should on other people. You should do this, you should do that. That's a disrespectful act. Don't should on yourself. Why? Because you're a creature of God. You're a son or daughter of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And guess what? He loves you. It's 11:10. I'm out. God bless you.
Come on, give it up for Doc Lehman this morning. Would you do that? I don't know about that, shooting on yourself, though. You're going to get in trouble one day using that. I just want you to know.
Pronounce it well, Marty.
Oh, man, what a great day. Dr. Lehman's going to be at St. Anthony's at noon as well. If any of you want to go over and rub shoulders with him a little more, some books up on the table. This morning, I'm just so thankful for each and every one of you and the opportunity just to be a little part of your life today and every day. I want to tell you, this coming week, Thursday night, Hector Santos is always an incredible blessing to us. If you can arrange your schedule to be here, that will be an incredible night for you. Next Sunday, June 10th already. Can you believe it? I'm going to talk about future families. Sometimes people crumble because of where they are right now, but I want to give you some opportunity for you to look ahead to see what a future family, what you can have. Maybe not what you're at right now, but what God can and will do for you. That'll be on the 10th. The 17th, in 2 weeks from today, believe it or not, is Father's Day. Come on, how many dads have we got in here? Let me see your hands. We got a gift for you. We got something special coming that day. It is going to be just incredible. And then the 24th of June is graduation Sunday. If you haven't signed up, in the back, we give a Bible away, and it's just an incredible day to be together. We hope that if you're a graduate, college, high school, sign that paper in the back. We want to be a part of your life. I want the prayer people, if you would, to come on down and stand with me this morning. We want to pray for you before you leave today. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, come on down. Let one of these folks pray with you, just like Dr. Lehman. Your story and mine are similar, you know. When I started dating my girlfriend, her dad said, if you're going to date that boy, he's got to go to church. And I said, okay, she's blonde. How can I not? Can't be that bad. It seemed bad when I went there, but it was a Sunday night that an evangelist came in. And when he began to preach the gospel, something happened in my heart. And I'll never forget walking down to that altar that day and giving my life to Jesus. You can do that as well. If you're here today and you're struggling in your home and your family, your relationship with your spouse, we want to pray with you. We want to help you. We want to be a resource to you, okay? So I'm going to pray and close. And if that's you, you meet any of those criteria that I just spoke about, you come down before you leave, okay? Let's pray. Close your eyes, bow your head with me. Father, I just want to say thank you today for sending your gift into this house. Lord, I pray for every mom, dad, every boy, girl, every family here today. God, that you would bring us all to a higher level of knowing the love that you have for us, the grace that you have given to us. Lord, I give you thanks. We pray blessing on Dr. Lehman, strength and peace into his life, into his home, into his family. Open greater doors for him than he has ever had open to him before, we pray today. And I pray blessing, I pray favor over every life here today. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You need prayer, you come on down. The book table is in the back. Doc Lehman, he's going to be up there. He'll sign your books. Aaron's up there all ready to help you with that. I love you. Go in God's grace.